Hello and welcome to Southern Comfort, a SoCon podcast, where we talk all things Southern Conference sports. I'm here this week with my guest, Spencer Wright. Spencer, you want to say hello to the people?
Hello, how's it going?
Spencer is a WCU student football manager. Spencer, you want to kind of just walk us through, you know, where you're at right now with Western and how you got there?
All right. So, Spencer Wright, I'm a senior at Western Carolina, and I'm the head student equipment manager for the football team here. And I got into it early on into my freshman year. We actually share a mutual friend, me and Cole, Matthew Sullivan down at Wofford. And I just got a hold of Dan Gibson and Mike Taylor, and we were able to get me a equipment management spot, and I kind of just fell in love with it.
Yeah, and I think for me, the biggest thing about that is I can't believe you're a senior already, man. I remember when, you know, we were sophomores and you were freshmen and we go out bowling and stuff, and that seems like eons ago.
Yeah.
Would you say your time at Western has flown by? You think it's been a quick 4 years?
It definitely has, and it definitely has felt like that. Though at times this year, just because of COVID, being like a year and a half removed from football has been kind of difficult, and feels longer than it has been.
Yeah, and you mentioned it's been difficult. You want to kind of give us some details about what's been the hardest part maybe of, you know, having to not play football in the fall?
Hardest part is just being always mentally checked in and mentally just being ready for a practice or game, not knowing whether it's going to happen. I know in August, before I left, for an internship, it was kind of up in the air whether SoCon was going to even play in the fall, but we were still going and having our usual practices and fall camp for 2 weeks. And it felt like, you know, we were going to go regardless of what was going to happen. And then I find out we're going to be shut down towards the end of camp, and we just kind of have to wait it out. And then as time went on, we were going to play three games in the fall, two of them being against FBS opponents. So you got to kind of gear right back up and try to get everything prepared and ready for a fall, short fall season. And then you get some time off, and you got to come back ready for a full 8-game slate in the spring.
Yeah, and you mentioned that. You think that was, you know – I'm going to say, obviously it was different, but what do you think about really not having an off season and then even going into fall 2022 or 2021, sorry, you won't have an off season there. You think that's going to affect some teams?
I think it's definitely going to affect teams injury wise. You're going to have some guys that possibly potentially get hurt in the spring and delays their playing time in the fall just because of getting back and rehabbing injuries. And then the other side of it is there could be a lot of good teams in the FCS coming in the fall because a lot of these guys are going to have experience early on, and you're going to learn the playbook faster, and you're going to be able to, as a coach, you're going to be able to add more plays to the playbook.
Yeah, something that's crazy to think is 2021 fall freshmen, this will be their first year in the fall, and they'll be sophomores, but they'll be playing their first year of fall football. It's going to be an interesting thing to look at. Yes. You want to kind of take us through maybe like the top three or four changes from COVID, things that are done differently now that you think will stay the same?
Things that I think that will stay the same. Can't really put anything on that. Because I'm not quite sure if anything will ever be exactly the same as how it was. Just some new things that we do as a university for all athletes is just being temperature checked every morning. You got to go in and get gated before you can attend any practice or meeting. And then every Wednesday for all athletes, we're getting COVID tested between 7 and 8 in the morning. So that's something new to us, and I know all athletes are kind of ready for that to be over in those early mornings that you wish you didn't have, but I'm not quite sure if there's anything I really want to keep from this COVID period.
Yeah. What would you say has been possibly, you know, the most adverse thing or the hardest thing to deal with? Is it the COVID test every Wednesday? I couldn't imagine getting swabbed so often.
Yeah. Cole, as you know, I did that internship at the Carolina Panthers training camp this August, and we were getting swabbed twice a day. So I've became a pro basically at it. But that's one thing all student athletes are kind of tired of doing is just getting swabbed every Wednesday.
Yeah, your nose is basically numb to it at this point, right?
Yes, yes, very much so. But the most adversity is facing is when you get back that positive test and who you gotta contact trace back, and whether a athlete be sick or not, if they're traced, you gotta pull them out of there to further stop the spread.
Is that anything that you've personally had any role with? If you had to, you know, administer any of that pulling out or do any of that?
I personally have not been pulled out. I dealt with COVID in June of 2020. But recently, within the last week, equipment staff-wise, one of my students that works under me tested positive and took out another one of our equipment managers. So this week when we went to Mercer, we were down two guys. So it was kind of we had a heavy workload going into this week, weekend.
I got you. Well, hopefully they can get back into good health and get back with the football team. Kind of change gears here to start really into the heart of the SoCon slate. We can start with the WCU 28, Mercer 45 score. Donovan Spencer, 12 carries, 78, 3 TDs. Nikendra Clark for Mercer, 23 carries, 92 yards, 2 TDs. Is there? What was your takeaway from that for Western?
I will say we started off really slow, really flat. Offensively, we couldn't get clicking, which has been a problem with just some offensive changes. And our defense is right now takes a little bit to settle in. But that second quarter, we were down 21-0, came back and made it 21-14. Offense started to click. Then going into half, it was 28-14, but Mercer got the second half and kind of led the way there.
Yeah, and the WCU special teams, is there anything you want to say about that? A blocked punt, several decent, you know, kick returns, and that's something that they had to happen in the Citadel. You think the special teams is really clicking really well right now for Western?
As of right now, I would say special teams has been as well as it was in 2017. I think we have a strong, very strong return game, even though we're really young. This is the best return team I've seen in my 4 years at Western. And both our returners are currently freshmen. And they're getting between 30 to 40 yards a return, and you're setting up your offense really good.
Yeah, maybe just talking a little bit about that Mercer team. They get their second SoCon win. They've also defeated the Citadel, which Western's also beaten. Is there anything you noticed for Mercer, you know, rolling on into the rest of the season? You think they could make some upsets, Furman, Chattanooga?
They can definitely make some upsets, especially against Furman. I felt as though, even though we lost to Furman, that Furman's not as strong as they usually have been. But Mercer tends to be a running team, and they know they can run the ball against you. They like to run the ball east to west, use the sidelines. They can beat you with some speed there. And if they get a hole, you better hope that your secondary is there to clean things up.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. Maybe not talking about as much the quarterback play because they run the ball so much. They got Jake Fromm's little brother down there, and I really want to see him get in a quarterback for Mercer just to see if he could be anything like Jake was. And you also mentioned Furman, so we can turn the page to their game. University of Tennessee, Chattanooga 20, Furman 18, Hamp Sisson 10, 23, 121, 2 TDs, 2 picks. Tyrell Price, 20 carries, 111 yards, 1 TD for Chattanooga. Furman's kind of skidding here. You think Furman can make the playoffs after these two losses?
Personally, even though we lost to Furman, I didn't feel as though as Furman as good as they have been in the past few years. But I think Chat's a team in the conference that's going to be one of the best right at the top. They're going to ride it out. Me and Matt Sullivan down at Wofford have talked about Chat and some of their transfer kids and some of the adversity they've been facing there, and they're coming out really strong, just like VMI is.
Yeah, Chattanooga definitely looks good. And you mentioned Furman not being who they'd been prior. They almost dropped one to ETSU last week. I'm sure all the ETSU fans are wishing they could get that one back. A lot of questionable calls. And you mentioned Matt. I texted Matt after Wofford lost last week. I was like, Matt, it's you, man. Yeah. Western had 3 years where they were, you know, I want to say subpar, and now he's gotten down to Wofford, and they're not putting a banner up this year was what it's looking like. So I said, dude, you got to get them together. And maybe roll them on to, we're going to save the VMI game for the last one. ETSU 28, Citadel 21. That ETSU team, you think they can make a push for the playoffs? I know they've got to have some help.
ETSU's definitely got to have some help. We're going to see firsthand this weekend as we take on ETSU in Johnson City how they play. But to me, that's kind of a little surprising that Citadel only lost by a touchdown to ETSU, who's only 2-1 in the conference. So raises the question, are they as good as those middle-of-the-pack teams like Furman and Mercer? Or have they just not had the chance to play that many games and see where they end up in the conference?
Yeah, I think Citadel. I don't see them winning the game this year. You know, they've already lost to Western, dropped to ETSU, lost to Mercer. I don't see who else they could beat. Maybe,
yeah,
I'm not sure if they played Wofford this year.
They would have to severely upset somebody, which, I mean, as all sports go, this semester, this season, anybody can beat anybody, because no matter what happens, we're all doing the same type of guidelines. If COVID were to take some key players out and the opposing team just comes out strong the next day, there's not much you can do. So I feel like anybody in this conference has a chance to be anybody, no matter what the record or how the conference seems.
Definitely, you mentioned, you know, just looking at it from a Western perspective, they were lose Donovan Spencer, Ryan Glover, some of that O-line for a game. You know, that would be a completely different Western Carolina that you'd be looking at. Maybe VMI, you know, we can roll into that game. VMI 38, Samford 37. Reese Udinski, 3 touchdowns, game-winning touchdown and 2-point conversion. That one goes to overtime. Liam Welch for Samford sets a SoCon passing yards record of 570 passing yards in one game, 4 touchdowns and 2 picks. And talking about that COVID, if you were to see Udinski go down, that VMI team is not going to be the same, but they're sitting at the top of the conference right now. You think this is the year of the key debt?
It potentially can be. I do think Chat could be really strong. But before yesterday for us, I heard that Samford was up versus VMI, and it sounded like Samford was going to get a win, but it seemed like VMI failed and faced adversity head on and came back to win that.
Yeah, and I think that's something great teams – really have to do. You think they have to have that defining moment? Could this be that for VMI, where, you know, you buckle in, you stick to your game plan, you tell it win a tough one?
It is. I think when we had played VMI, I was kind of skeptical of who they had played and how they were 2-0 at the time. And I really see that via yesterday's game that they faced adversity. They came back and won, and I think that's going to bring a lot of momentum coming into their following weeks.
It definitely is, and I think, you know, maybe it's just, at least personally, as a fan of the SoCon, I can get behind the key debts and guys that are, you know, probably going to end up in military careers and hope for them to go to the FCS and shake some stuff up. I saw, I think, last week they were 14th in the poll. And to turn into the second key of this podcast, you mentioned it earlier, the Blue Ridge Border Battle is next weekend. ETSU, Western Carolina, will be traveling to Johnson City. Can you give us maybe some keys for Western, what you think they're going to need to do well to win that one?
Defensively, we need to stop any run. A run has always been a struggle with us, but during the offseason, we got Clyde Simmons, former D-lineman for Western, brought him back to Cullowhee, and he's doing great things with our D-line, and our D-line is significantly getting better. This past week with Mercer, we were out Ricky Pleo, senior for Western was out, which kind of hurt us, along with KJ Milner with COVID call. So that kind of hurt us there. But we're hoping to have both those players back this weekend going into ETSU. And then offensively, I think if we can get Donnie Spencer and Makai Stanley rolling, our run game can be strong. And right now, I think we have a strong wide receiver core. And if we can get some good passing looks, it could be a long day for ETSU.
Yeah, and you mentioned Ryan Glover. I saw a pass in the Mercer game. It wasn't accurate, but he can throw that thing. You know, I kind of questioned coming into the season what his arm was going to be like, filling the shoes of Tyree Adams. But I think he's done a good job for Western to kind of, you know, run the offense, especially in such a short – because what, he's only been there since the start of spring?
Yeah, he came in that second week of January, and he's currently always trying to learn this playbook and learn the different routes and learn his receivers most of the time. So we're still on that learning stage, and I think coming back to the fall, I think he could be a very strong quarterback. But arm strength-wise, he is a very strong quarterback. When I think of a quarterback, I'm thinking of Ryan Glover. He's just got that it factor, even though it hasn't been shown yet. He is the guy and can do the job.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you mentioned some of these grad transfers all across the SoCon that are getting to come in and almost play like a, you know, if you're not VMI Chattanooga, you know, you can look at this as a preseason for the fall. And to get valuable game time for a quarterback like Ryan Glover, I think that's going to do wonders for Western, you know, into the next fall. So, ultimately, Cats are bringing home the trophy, right? We're going to keep the Blue Ridge Border Battle Trophy, which, you know, that name's interesting. We're going to keep it in Colowee.
Yes, I really hope so. I think another key thing to this is the Border Battle Trophy is only 2 years old. Both teams are 1-1 in the trophy contest. But I think over the two games that this trophy's been here, there's been four overtimes to this side, the trophy winner. So I would not be surprised if this game went into an overtime or multiple overtime periods to decide the winner.
I think we'd love to see it. You mentioned playing for that trophy, and my freshman year, I recall playing for ETSU. We played them at, what was it, Darlington or something like that. We played for that raceway. I don't know if you remember that one. That was a trophy that the Bucks got to take home that I think we would have loved to have in Colowee.
Playing there at Bristol. Yeah.
Bristol, yeah.
Coach Spear really wanted, I think there was a tire on the line, the tire trophy on the line. He really wanted that one.
Yeah, we ended up dropping that one to the Bucks. Hopefully, you know, that can fire the Cats up for continual dominance in this Blue Ridge. And kind of transferring away from football for a little bit, we're going to talk basketball. The last SoCon team season has ended as of yesterday. I don't know how much of that you got to watch. I know you're preparing for a football game. UNCG 54, FSU 64. Did it shock you? Did you have the Spartans winning this one?
Honestly, I did not have the Spartans winning this one just because I had seen early on how strong FSU was. And so that didn't really surprise me. I was only able to watch a little bit of it pregame before team arrived at the stadium. But we had some better interest in taking some batting practice in the batting cages at Mercer. So I think when we stopped watching, it was 13-2 or 13-5, somewhere in there early on in the first half.
Yeah, I think something interesting about this one, maybe not as much for UNCG as it would be for FSU, but they could both turn to games of Western Carolina. Just about 2 weeks ago, the Cats knocked off UNCG, and the beginning of last year, Western went down to Florida State and gave the Seminoles a little bit of a rally and a fight. So both of these teams kind of can turn on the catamounts and say, okay, common opponent, what did they do to get it done, or what did they do to, you know, push it? And in that one, Isaiah Miller, 7 of 18, 17 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. He misses two kind of very important one-of-ones towards the later part of that game. A guy I thought should have got more looks, Keyshawn Langley, 5 of 9 for 3 for 16 points. You're shooting above 50%. Don't you think that guy should get the ball a little bit more?
Yeah, I think so, and I think he's a player. Better, the more baskets he makes, the better he's going to play. So,
yeah, and he's only a sophomore, so we will continue to see him in the SoCon. Play in Coley. And Raquan Gray for FSU, 8 of 13, 17.7 rebounds. UNCG just got killed inside for that one, I think. And there's really nothing else to say about it. Kind of some closing comments. Do you have anything to say about what a year it's been for you with COVID and, you know, spring football?
It's definitely been a different one, considering how you think like a senior year is going to go, how coming in as a freshman, you kind of go your first season, you see how it goes. And then sophomore year, you kind of know the ropes and you kind of just want to know more and get in depth more of the job that you do. And you realize like, this is how it's going to go. This is how it plays out. And then things start crumbling down towards the end of your junior year and your senior year is just kind of flipped upside down. I want to shout out Charlie Want. Me and Charlie are two senior student assistants that this is our last ride. This weekend will be our last away game. So you can only imagine what it's going to feel like, our last bus ride there and bus ride back, hopefully with that trophy. And we can celebrate that together. But it's different, and I think we're going to be stronger because of it. We're going to be very knowledgeable if in a situation or a crisis were to arise. And so we're going to be very, very aware of where we came from and how we did things during the spring season.
Definitely. And being kind of a senior and a leader, I don't think anybody's going to like, you know, when you're rolling into job applications and where you're looking to go after college, you know, that's something you can definitely harp on. I helped manage a football team during COVID and led them through things that's unprecedented. Yes, never happened before. You didn't have a history book or a playbook for it. You know, you mentioned kind of being under Matt Sullivan a little bit. You know, you got to look up to him for 3 years and see how to do things, but nothing you ever learned from Matt in the past 3 years could have prepared you for this, really. Would you say that?
No. And I mean, me and Matt are always on the phone talking. I'm listening to what his situation down in Wofford is and how he's helping his assistants out and stuff like that. And it's nothing compared to what me and him had to go through together. One thing I will miss is some of our seniors that come back for their extra year eligibility here in the fall. I will miss seeing those guys last ride.
Yeah, that's something I think, you know, at some point that maybe the sports world needs to talk about, guys that didn't get a fifth year as a manager. You know, you're not going to get a final fall season like some of these other guys are going to get. They're going to get to use his fifth year. You know, Spencer Wright doesn't get to enter his name into the transfer portal and, you know, go be a manager somewhere else, experience different things. And it kind of sucks for y'all, but we definitely in Coley and I think all of SoCon appreciate the guys like you that, you know, make the things run behind the scenes.
Yes, sir.
Really, do you just have anything else you want to say? Kind of close it up. Anything you see coming in the future of SoCon football? Is VMI the team of destiny this year?
I think VMI can very, very well win this. And looking into maybe after the season, we're going to have to see how they start off here in the fall. And I say if they go somewhere in their first four games, go 2-2 or 3-1 or possibly even 4-0, they're probably definitely the team to be reckoned with in SoCon. But again, SoCon always fluctuates, and you're always going to have that Samford Wofford towards the top along with Furman. So can Chat be one of those top four, top five? We're going to see.
Definitely. It's going to be a lot of questions. And what you're going to do now to translate into the fall, losing some guys, Reese Udinski, guys that are going to go high major. But we appreciate you being on this week, Spencer.
All right. I thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.